Welcome. It is 1 o'clock on the West Coast. It is Hug Nation time all over the world. It is Hug Nation time in your heart. If you're listening to this live, then it is Hug Nation time as we share this moment together in time and space. If you're watching the archive, it is Hug Nation time when you experience this vibration in your time and space. So if I'm talking to the future, hello, you made it. If you can communicate back, let me know the lottery numbers. Before we get too deep, let's just take a moment to get present, be mindful, become aware of your body, the sensations that you are experiencing right now. You can hear sounds transferring into your ears and then into your mind, the vibrations of my voice, probably other little traces of echoes and rumbles and buzzes. What other vibrations can you experience? Can you feel your feet on the floor, where your skin is touching air, where it is touching itself, where it's touching fabric? How subtle our experiences can be when we tune into the now. How rich the experience of life can be when we stop taking things for granted and just get present and allow and realize the abundance of the now. Dear universe, help us to appreciate all of this. Help us to see the gifts. Help us to focus on our blessings and welcome more and more of the good. Help us to be loving people in the world. Amen. Welcome. Welcome to Hug Nation. Today's topic is what and how do you surrender? My life kind of went through a transformational change when I started to focus on being of service. But being of service means you're of service to something. For me, while I don't have like a book or a church or a dogmatic entity that I'm of service to, I feel I'm generally of service to love, to compassion, to connection. And so as I walk my path, I can be led not from my ego and my forceful mind, but instead by this of service to these principles. And these principles are things that I am learning about constantly, so that intensity of service can shift and change, and the direction of it can shift as I become more in tune or less in tune, always recorrecting to that service to love. And I had a conversation recently with someone who was asking about, well, what if someone else is of service to something that's wrong? And it made me think a lot about, what does that mean? And does that matter? And is there such thing as being of service to the wrong thing? And how do you know you're of service to the right thing? And if you don't ever ask the question of what you're of service to, you're probably of service to the status quo just mindset, which is that of fairly selfishness, that you are separate, that the acquisition of material things is the goal, and that so you are of service to those of with that type of power and of service to a system that values that kind of power. Now, is that not a good thing to be of service to? I can't say that. I can say that for me, that does not feed me, does not make me feel alive, does not make me feel joyous, but I'm certainly in no position to judge. I had a powerful, well, I think it's not, the important thing is, let me take a step back and say, it is not that I'm, what I am of judgmental of is judgment. If someone's path is the path, then there's a good chance that I disagree with that path. So it's not what you surrender to, it's how. If you can surrender, if you can be of service to something and also leave room for other people's paths, then that's probably a perfectly valid path for you and a wonderful place for you to be. If your path and if your what you are of service to leaves no room for anyone else, I'm very intolerant of intolerance. And I have been guilty of this in the past. When I was in college, I had an experience where I took my dad on a trip, or we went on a trip together, and we were on a white sand beach in Costa Rica. And I had planned this out in advance because I was in college. I was learning that I was of service to this spiritual path, even though I really was just scratching the surface of what that meant. But what it really meant to me was that other people were wrong, and I was learning that there was a better way. And so I was convinced that I needed to open my dad up and show him about the spiritual path. And so I orchestrated this experience where we were on this sandy beach, almost no one around as far as you can see in any direction, and we're walking, and I asked him, I said, Dad, this is my very overly confident, not wise to the world college mind, and I said, Dad, what do you really want out of life? What is it, you know, what is it that you really want? And I kind of was preparing my follow-up, you know, as he sat there and talked and walked, and we walked for a couple minutes in silence. And then he said to me, more of the same. And I was like, wait, that was not what I was expecting. Here was a guy who was respected in his work. He was still married to my mom. He was extremely honest. He followed his ideals in terms of honesty and integrity, and he was not trapped by this feeling of like, well, I'm just going to acquire this, or I'm going to get this, which is what I was hoping that he would say so I could fix him. And here he said, more of the same, which to me, I was like, well, then you win. Isn't that peace? Saying, if nothing changed, I would still be wonderfully happy. If things change, wonderful. I'll go in that direction too. But what do I really want? This. It's like, boom, so awesome to hear that. And it really kind of humbled me. Although it still made me feel like I didn't feel like, you know, I thought we were two separate right answers. But as I grew in my spiritual path, and I started to get more into the idea of being of service, and I started to look at our lives, and I realized that in my head, we were so different. He was so headstrong, and I was so humble. And, which is so not true. I'm so my father's son. And when I started to look at his path, my dad is a judge. And so in his mind, he is a servant. He is of service to the Constitution, to the law, to justice. And so he fulfills his days. He puts all of his talents and his energy and his heart towards being the best tool he can be for this larger system. He is of service to justice, to the American system of justice. And does he align blindly? No, but he does have faith and he is a servant. And I'm like, wait a minute, if you take out the what we are of service to, we are parallels. I believe I am of service to something. I believe I am a tool of something larger than myself. I believe that while I question it and it shifts, at the same time, I'm putting my talents and my abilities and my heart towards trying to be of service to this higher thing. And it was a powerful, powerful realization. And it kind of answers that question of what if someone else is of service to something wrong? And I don't think that there's such a thing. If you are of service to something and other people aren't clicking with it, well, then it may not be something that should be embraced by all. There was a time when I definitely thought there was right and wrong things. And I can remember, and I guess the only thing that I feel like is the wrong thing to be of service or to is anything that says that this is the one way, this is the one true way. And you can kind of look at the difference between, say, Buddhism and Christianity and see how they differ. Notice I did not say the difference between Buddha and Christ. Buddhism and Christianity, whereas Christianity says, as it is often taught in the church, is that there is a true path. There is a single way, and those who are not on that path are going to hell, are heathens, are need to be saved, whatever it is. But they are, that is wrong and this is right. And the rightness of it actually should be unquestioned. Where if you look at Buddhist teachings, it says flat out that you should question everything and see what resonates with you, including this, which is a vastly different thing. Taoism actually takes it one step further and even says, the minute you start talking about this truth, you are no longer talking about it. The minute you try to map out this path, you are no longer on the path. I love that the very nature of Taoism is that you cannot grab onto it too tightly. It cannot be a concrete thing. There is no right because you cannot focus your eyes on it. You simply have to have a sense of it because it is so much beyond the way our mind and our logical ego things can function that we cannot force it into something that we can then bow down before. Now, there was a time when I used to, about the same time that I was trying to, you know, fix my dad, that I would seek out people like street preachers who would try to, you know, say you're going to hell, and I would, you know, get into debates and say, you know, oh, so let me just get this right, you know, so little baby born in Africa, never heard of Jesus Christ, he's now stuck in purgatory just because he had never been met by someone like you. Is that what you're trying to tell me? And I thought, you know, I was so clever, and I thought I was, I don't know, helping. And then, you know, it starts to realize that, you know, even in this closed-minded one pathway, the intention is still one of helping. So I was able to relax a little bit and allow and at least not that target people that feel like they have one true faith. Instead, I just kind of have compassion and walk on. It is good to remember, though, that if your how you surrender is concrete and absolute, it's a dangerous place. The Inquisition is a period of Christian history where coming from the intention of helping people was crazy atrocities. Torturing someone so that you can help them, save them from internal damnation with a little bit like this is, I know you think this is hurting you now, I'm doing this for your own good. I'm going to torture you until you admit your sins so that when you die, which will probably happen because of all this torture I'm doing to you, when you then die or I kill you, you will then not go to hell. You're welcome. And that's what happens when that path of absolute truth, surrender without any leeway, can head. Now, and this is something like, I don't have a guru, I don't have a single text, I don't have a single thing. The belief buffet in general is about trying to find all the things that resonate. So I'm of the mind that even in your state of surrender, you are still, you keep one hand on your heart. So as you surrender to the higher power, as you surrender to the ideas, the text, the teachers, you are always aware of what is being critical of that is outside, and make sure that you are resonating with what is inside so that you can then realign as things get off track. You can realign as something seems, whoa. And so even in a state of surrender, I think it is a personal as well as, it is the release of the ego as well as the return to the self that is beneath the ego. Easier said than done, I know. So it's important to remember that the map has many routes, and the map itself is an abstraction of the territory. So even as we find routes that work for us, we need to be patient with anyone's route. I'm appreciative of your route. The wonderful thing is, as we each take our own route and we share our stumbles and we share our triumphs and we share the paths and the things and the people and the books and the practices that help us, we illuminate the entire landscape and we give each other the opportunity to find paths that work for us. So as we are of service, we also share our joy, we illuminate the path for others, and we make the whole journey more beautiful and more love-filled, more rewarding, and more joyous. So thank you for being a fellow traveler. Thank you for surrendering for whatever it is you surrender and leaving space for me to surrender to whatever it is I surrender. We are all of service, I believe, to that one thing, which is what we are all a part of. And in the direction, the way that that happens is, that's the journey of the self. That's why we have separate bodies, so we can do it separately. If we were, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we are all one. Thank you for being a piece of the one that is so perfect. And I hope your path is amazing. Thanks for being a part of mine. Let's have a hug. Wherever you are, grab yourself by the shoulders. And be thankful for your separateness. In this separateness, where you can see the difference between I and the rest, we are able to enjoy the drama of life, enjoy the triumphs and the sorrow, find the bad people and help them, find the people who need our help, find the people who can help us. We can go and learn, have the experiences, learn the lessons. It is only in this separate state that we can do that. And eventually we will return to the one state, our divine state. Maybe we can do it in any moment with a degree of practice. And we're appreciative of that too. And as we acknowledge that deep within us is that one state, that seed of the divine, that fire that comes from the source, we recognize that everybody's in that same state, no matter how much their path is at odds, how much they surrender to a organization or philosophy or politics that may seem at odds or offensive or even hostile. We know that deep down they are perfect divine beings. They are representatives of the one. They are just as we are. And so we forgive them for getting caught up in their story. We forgive ourselves. And let's just take a couple breaths and just feel connected to everyone at that source level. Deep inhale. On behalf of Grandpa Caleb and all the Love Warriors, happy Hug Nation. Thank you for walking your path, for being of service to whatever it is. Thank you for surrendering and allowing and receiving. The magic we make together is unbelievable. Thank you. I love you. Namaste.
You, beautiful person, are listening to the Hug Nation podcast with Halcyon, recorded live every Tuesday, hugnation.com.